AI agents are everywhere, automating tasks and making decisions at machine speed. But agents make mistakes. Just one rogue agent can do big damage before you even notice. Rubrik Agent Cloud is the only platform that helps you monitor agents, set guardrails, and rewind mistakes, so you can unleash agents, not risk. Accelerate your AI transformation at rubrik.com. That's rubrik.com.
At Emory University, we are guided by a shared purpose and a spirit of collaboration. Students here push each other to think creatively and work together because we believe different perspectives lead to new ideas. We know that Emory's mission to create, preserve, teach, and apply knowledge in the service of humanity takes all of us. We do together better. Learn more at emory.edu.
What's up, everybody? I'm George Massey. You're listening to The George Massey Show. I'm here with Gina, and we're going to be discussing some of the news stories in popular culture. The world is kind of in shambles, Gina. Like, there's a lot of things that are going wrong, and it's not like Y2K or anything small. Like, everything is kind of looking down, you know, when we look at the world. So the news is kind of terrifying at times. So, like, how does that make you feel? Because I know that you're a traveler. You love to get out and live your best life. How does the state of the world make you feel lately?
It's very, like, touch and go, because you'll see some parts of the world in shambles, and then the next, like, a few months later, they're fine and it's recovered, right? So I find a cheap flight ticket, I'm on my way, right? So as a citizen of Canada, I try to stay within my own country or go overseas into Europe, because I do have my dual citizenship there, unfortunately.
What do you feel about traveling to the United States right now? How are you feeling?
I've been hearing so many things, like, or read so many things that I haven't personally encountered, nor do my parents, because they do go over there, spend a few days in the States as they own property across the border, type of thing like that, like at a campsite. So it's like an RV campsite, no issues. When I went to Vegas, crossing, like, going through the airport, no issues at all. They just asked me when I was going, when I was coming back, where I was staying at. And that was basically it, the common questions. The only thing that they do is, like, the face scan, but I'm already so adapted to that in Europe when I would travel within Europe. So I'm like, we're good. Like, you guys will have all my information anyways. We're good. Let's keep moving.
So you like music, right? Music is your thing. I know that you're always going to concerts. So
it
brings me to the first topic that we're going to discuss, because there's been two major incidents that happened in music news. One was Katy Perry almost falls off of a butterfly prop at one of her concerts. And prior to this, Beyonce was on a convertible Cadillac high up in the sky at one of her shows at one of the arenas, and one of the cords dropped on one side and, like, tilting her. And, you know, watching these malfunctions, when did concerts take a turn to where somebody singing a song and sounding amazing isn't enough? Why are they hanging from the ceiling and putting their lives at risk on these props? Like, when you go to shows, Gina, what do you expect to see? Do you expect to see dancing and singing, or do you need people to be hanging and dangling from the ceiling to feel entertained?
I just need the artist to be there and giving his full, their full connection to the audience.
See, that's me too. Like, I could go to a show and the person just sounds good. Like, have you ever seen Adele live? Like, Adele is an amazing singer. I've seen her live and she doesn't dance. You know, she doesn't do any of the crazy shenanigans on stage. She has a microphone and she dresses really nice and she belts out her music that she wrote. And that's enough for me. Like, I don't know why this day and age people need to have you, what do you call it? Like cascading from the ceiling and riding in through the air and do it. Like, why are we demanding such dangerous entertainment? Like, why can't they just sing and dance and entertain you? Like, watching what people are now doing to put on a great stage show, I feel like we're making it impossible for people to
See, here's the thing, right? What I think, and it's only logically thinking, right? So, as you know, I went to see New Kids on the Block in Vegas, and what had happened was they had these like boxes where like they would, the members of New Kids on the Block got in there mid-show, and then they were lifted up as well. And then, so the people up top can also see them closer up, type of thing like that. So I think it's kind of like, hey, you might not have been able to afford like the good seats, but here's a piece of us basically, and showing that they're basically like care for the all their fans, rich or poor, basically like that. So you could just get a snippet of whomever is like your idol or whatever, or like who you like the most, like type of thing like that in front of you, and giving that like so no one misses out on that experience.
I get that, but isn't that they used to have when I was younger, I would go to shows and the arenas were just too big. So they would have like TV screens. Like, you know how you go to a basketball game and you can either watch the game as it's happening or they have like the Jumbotron up at the top, or you could watch the Jumbotron if you wanted to see it closer. Like,
Yeah, but that's the thing, like with the Jumbotron, it's just like, okay, well, you know, I could have just seen this on TV. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so I think like not where you're putting your life at risk, and not for that long, like in a floating, like in a flying car, basically, but like just to show some interactions with your fans, who maybe couldn't, who can only afford the nosebleed seats. Like, even if it's just for a few minutes, like, or a few songs, that shows that you have, like, it shows that the artist actually cares for everybody. Not, they're not just performing for a select few.
so I always, here's my unpopular opinion. I think that venues are getting too big. Like, I think I've always enjoyed seeing more intimate shows. And I think the bigger the venue, the less likely I'm gonna have a great experience. Like, I'm not a fan of music festivals. I'm not a fan of seeing someone at a football stadium or a baseball stadium. I think venues are getting too big, and I get it. I know artists have become larger than life, right? Like, you can't put a Taylor Swift or a Beyonce or a Usher at a House of Blues. It's not feasible. But I think at this point, the venues have gotten so expensive. And then, Gina, I have to comment, ticket costs have skyrocketed. Like, to buy a ticket to a show, even in the nosebleeds, is going to cost you $300 to $500. When did that happen? Because when I was a teenager, I could go to a concert for $25.
Exactly. You know what? Like, I honestly don't know. So, as you know, I had went to the Weeknd last week. Like, I went to see the Weeknd. He is actually Canadian as well, and I had went to see a show, and our tickets cost like $344, and we were on the floor, which is not that bad. So, but the thing is, I'm short, so it's just like, I should have sprung for like more money. But I'm not really that big of a Weeknd fan to spend or justify paying more money. So I'd bought four tickets in the hopes of selling two other ones and make some sort of profit margin off of it, which totally did not work out in my favor. And then my friend, my coworker, she bought the tickets behind me, but then they had got rid of her row. But then they moved her to some other seating, and
Wait,
basically,
what do you mean got rid of her row? How do you get rid of a row that you sold tickets for?
exactly. So she had to go see the concierge or something like that, and they moved her to a better section with better seats. But at the same time, where she was moved to, she wasn't like the other two tickets that she had bought, they weren't like together. So there weren't four tickets together. And the most awkward part about it is that she had to sit with her ex-boyfriend.
Oh,
Yeah.
that's awkward.
So exactly. So she came in contact with Ticketmaster and was saying like, and her two friends had bought my ticket. So like we can basically be behind, like in front and behind each other. So her friends bought my ticket, like the two extra tickets that I had. And so Ticketmaster basically told her that, oh, sorry, there's nothing that we can do about it. Right.
Oh.
So now she's in contact with her credit card company to see if like she can get reimbursed for like something.
That sounds like a nightmare. I'm sorry. That's
It
terrible.
exactly. And then I came, the Karen that I am, I came in contact with Ticketmaster as well. And I'm like, hey, eight of my friends bought tickets. We're in hopes of sitting like close to each other, like in front and behind. And then Ticketmaster responded, like, oh, we'll be in contact with you within 48 hours. And then I get an email from Ticketmaster saying, like, oh, it looks like the situation has already been resolved in our books. And I'm like, you haven't even answered my inquiry about what's going on or what had happened. Like, you hadn't, like, you didn't acknowledge nothing. So how can
Ew.
it be resolved?
That's horrible. I had an issue with a airline recently where my flight was delayed like 10 hours. Well, the issue was the flight left late and then I missed my connection and then the next flight out was like 10 hours and they refused to give me a hotel or pay for transportation or pay for meals. So I had to report them to like the transportation board and they did an investigation and they found out, well, they told us that the flight was delayed due to weather, but it was sunny when we took off and it was sunny when we landed and there wasn't anything going on in the air. So I knew they were lying. So I had the transportation board do an investigation. They reached out and said, yeah, they're lying. It wasn't due to weather. It was due to hours and overworked pilots, whatever. So now they finally were forced to reimburse me for all of my out-of-pocket expenses. And but I wasn't like, I was like, that's not enough. You're gonna have to give me some free flights or whatever. 'Cause like y'all are liars and you're ridiculous and don't play with me. You're playing with the wrong person, right?
Exactly. You're playing with the wrong Karens and you get us started. You won't, and like,
Yeah. So I was
don't
like,
expect us to stop when we have a reason to be upset and angry and you think like people are dumb. Like, please get out of here.
now that I have the transportation board or the Department of Transportation giving me the paper saying that they lied, I was like, well, now the ball is in my court. Now I have the upper hand. Oh, so I wanted to ask you, I know that Justin Bieber, he's been in the news a lot lately. He released a new album called Swag. And it was very surprising because he's been in the news a lot, but never discussing music or saying that he was working on music or even hinting that he had new music coming out. And then on July 11th, he dropped an album. So how did you feel about that? Did you listen to it? Have you heard anything from it? Because Gina, I haven't heard anything from it at all.
You know what? I've never been a Bieber Fever fan. I like,
What?
and I should be, because I'm Canadian. But he, yeah, no, I think honestly, he needs to get like some help because we've seen him at a low. And let's face it, like I even said when he was a lot younger, I'm like, he's starting too soon, he's starting too young, he's gonna need like he's gonna go through like a whole tornado of different emotions and won't even know how to react or whatnot to his emotions later in life. He's gonna spiral.
Well, he's definitely spiraling. Like, and I think what bothers me about the media, the news media, is when people are going through like a mental health crisis or a breakdown, or I think we call it a crash out now, is they like to document it and put it out there for entertainment. Like it started with Britney Spears. They're like, oh, look at her. She's dancing erratically and she's saying erratic things. This is funny.
Or
This
shaving her head, like no, and
is right.
we should be supporting mental health and supporting those who have it, because if if it's in our circle, we'll support it. Like media will support it. Like we'll support our friends and family members about it. But when it comes to actors and actresses and singers, like just TV stars, they're expected to be like on their A game at 100%. It's not an ex it, like if you crash out, the whole world is going to see it. And we want to like, and unfortunately, the way the media works, they want to see that crash out happen. And it's really sad because we wouldn't want that amongst our like our family and friends and loved ones. But yeah, the media wants to see it between like TV stars and movie stars and singers and whatnot and all these celebrities, which is like totally uncalled for. Like they're allowed to crash out, they're allowed to have burnouts. So it's just like normal people. They are normal people.
Well, they're extraordinary people, but also normal people. And I don't know. I think that Justin's new album, I mean, I'm gonna be real with you. Justin has never put out music that wasn't good, right? Throughout his albums and his career, there's always been a song on every album he's ever put out, at least one song that I thought was really good. Like he's one thing that you can't argue with when it comes to his music is Justin makes good music. And I don't want to say Justin, he doesn't always write it, he doesn't always produce it, he sings it, but he puts out great music. But I'm gonna say I have not listened to his Swag album. I haven't heard one single song from his Swag album, which is really weird because usually when he puts out music, it's in conjunction with radio and MTV or Much Music. You know, he usually has a lot of support. So what I'm wondering is why did he put out this music independently the way that he did, and there's no support? No radios are pushing any singles. There's no music videos that he dropped in conjunction with the album. Like, what kind of support does he have behind the scenes with this album, or does he not have support? Does he not have a label behind him? Does he not have management behind him? Because you know he's been fighting with a lot of people in his camp. You know that, right? Like he's openly having disputes with people and not working with the same people that he works with anymore. So I'm just wondering, you know, do you think this will be the first Justin Bieber album to flop? Because he's never flopped an album before, but I'm wondering because it's been out for well over a week. And I still have not heard one single peep anywhere of this music. And I guess I could easily go and look for it and pull it up on Apple Music and hear it. But that's not what I always would have to do when it came to Justin. If Justin dropped a song, the radios would start playing it every single hour, right? Starting at midnight on the day that he released that music. And he doesn't seem to have that promotion that he used to have. So I'm wondering, does that mean that people are turning their backs on him? Does he not have that level of promotion that he used to have?
Like, I don't know, the last record that, like, the last CD he released or whatnot, or the last album he released was 4 years ago.
Well, yeah,
And
he
that was called
took a long
Freedom.
break and he got married and he had a baby. You know, he took a long break and he's been doing normal stuff. You know, like living his life in a relationship, got married. He got married, right? I remember him getting married, or am I making that up? I thought he got married.
No, he got married, yeah.
Yeah, he got married, and then they had this baby, and it seems like during that 4 years is kind of when the crash out started, right? Like during the time that he got married and had the kid, and a couple years before that is kind of when things started getting weird. You know, Justin has always been, I don't want to call him a little brat. But when it came to the media, he was always snarky and, you know, they called him a troublemaker, right? That's what he always was known as. But I think that this is taking it a step farther. He's kind of, it just seems like he's lost. Like he doesn't really know who he is or what he wants to do or what his purpose is. And it's weird.
He's having a young midlife crisis.
Well, yeah, because he's a super young kid, but I guess when you became the voice of a generation before you even turned 16, it's very confusing, you know, because if he didn't put out this album, because let me just be real with you, Gina. I don't feel like he wanted to put out an album because it seems like the last thing he would want to do is put himself back in the spotlight in the public eye. Every time I see him, he's very angry and combative when it comes to people being invasive in his life. So putting out an album kind of seems counterproductive to that. Cause it's like, if you don't want people chasing you and following you around, putting out an album and performing would be the opposite, because that's gonna, people are gonna watch you even more. They're gonna want to know what you're doing even more. So I'm wondering, did he put out this album because he wanted to, or did he put out this album because he's contractually obligated to? Like,
Maybe he's obligated to. We don't know what is signed on his contract. So
well,
it could be that on his contract, it's like you must write an album every 4 years.
yeah. Remember when Rihanna used to release an album? It seemed like every year. It turned
Yeah.
out that she was signed with Jay-Z's record label, and she signed an extremely crazy contract where I believe it was 10 albums in 10 years, which not very many people have ever achieved something like that. But Rihanna, and then when that contract expired, Rihanna like fell off the face of the earth. She was not interested in making music. And a lot of people were like, I'm so angry. I love Rihanna. I wish she put out music. But if you think about it, Rihanna releasing so many albums in such a short amount of time, there are artists like Michael Jackson and Whitney Houston, they've released the same amount of albums as Rihanna over the course of 20, 30, 40 years as she released in a decade. So her
Well,
body of work is extensive. She just did it really quickly.
she just needs a break. She's like, she was like producing albums every year. She has a makeup line. She has children now. Like, give the woman enough like time to breathe.
Well, I'm really impressed with what she was able to do, because when that contract was in motion, 10 albums in 10 years, she released great music throughout. Because when you're rushing things, you don't always get your best work out. I still feel like Rihanna, the music that she put out when she was, consistently putting out music was so good. And each album had like a theme, and I can go back to each album and name at least two songs that really resonated with me. And that's really impressive to say that she has such a short amount of time to get this done. It's impressive that she was able to put out such good music. And like you said, that extensive contract, that was a lot of work for anyone. So the idea that she doesn't want to record music on a consistent basis now doesn't surprise me, because nobody really has ever did what she did and put out that much music in such a short amount of time. Because I think Whitney Houston in her career, I believe I read it was 10 albums, and she did that over the course of like 25 to 35 years. And Rihanna's got the same amount of albums, and she did it in a decade. And it's like, so it kind of puts in perspective, she didn't have any break, right? And think about this, while she was recording music and putting out albums, she was also touring, Gina. She was also out on the road and doing consistent tours and shows for each album. So when Rihanna tells y'all that she's tired, she means it. She's tired.
Exactly.
She has paid her dues. She has made over $1 billion. She's got her Fenty Beauty and her lines. She is ready to take it easy and raise her babies and just live her life. And I don't blame her. She did the work of a full life career. Like some people's life career, she did in 10 years. And I think that she's earned a permanent vacation. If she wants to take a permanent vacation and never go on tour again, I don't blame her. I wouldn't want to do it either.
But the thing is, like, obviously, whoever signed that contract with her was not looking out for also her best interest as well. Like, the lawyer that, like, I'm presuming a lawyer could have been a family member. They did not look up that contract, like, with a fine tooth and, like, tooth and comb type of thing like that, because why would you ever want your client to go through that?
Well, yeah, I that was a very groundbreaking contract. Nobody had ever taken on such an ambitious contract, because recording an album in a year is almost impossible when you want to put out your best work. Like you need so much time, and even mixing and finalizing the album could take months. So the idea that she was going to go in, record 10 to 15, sometimes 20 songs, and then have them mastered and produced and ready to be on a shelf in such a short amount of time, that was a huge ambitious thing that they did, and it worked out in their favor. She made her label a shit ton of money, right? And she was able to go out on tour, and she garnered so many fans with what she was doing. But yeah, nobody is really signing contracts like that. They didn't before her and they didn't after her. You know, I think that she will go down in history as somebody who pulled off the impossible. Because looking at it on paper, any normal artist would tell you this is too ambitious, it's impossible. And if I did it, you wouldn't get my best work. You would barely get a third of what I'm capable of because I would just be so overworked and tired that you'll just get whatever that you get.
Exactly. So, like, I would have fired that lawyer that I had in a heartbeat after
Well,
the contract was over, because who does that to their,
no one.
like,
I mean, people are always looking to make as much money as possible, but sometimes you have to look at the health and well-being of an artist.
you
And
have to have the morale.
yeah, and I respect Rihanna a lot, and she does make a song every now and then. She put out a song for this new Smurfs movie that she's in, and she does go back in the studio and do a song here and there. I think a couple of years ago, she released another song for a movie. I can't remember the name of the movie now. But yeah, you can tell that music is still near and dear to her heart, but it is definitely not something that she is dedicating her life to like she did before. And I like I said, I don't think she has to. And if you saw her in concert, consider yourself lucky because Rihanna is not looking to go back on the road anytime soon. So we don't know when we're gonna get a Vegas residency, you know, with Rihanna. I would love to see it, but at this point, she's a mom and she's living the most normal life you can as such a huge superstar. And I think that she earned that. You know, celebrities deserve a personal life and free time too. And I think a lot of times people forget that. We want them on the road and on a tour bus 24/7 and, you know, at our disposal. And I think that, you know, they deserve to have a normal life and go eat dinner without being bothered too.
Exactly. And like, they have families and they have children and they want to be a part of their lives as well, not be on tour all the time when you should be spending that time with your family as well.
So I was brought to the attention of this story of Nicki Minaj, and it seems that she's having an issue or a spat with SZA. Now, SZA, she kind of came out of nowhere. I remember like 3 or 4 years ago, she was everywhere. And the funny part is she came out such a long time ago, and I remember hearing her name all the time, but never hearing any music attached to it. And then the music kind of came later. So are you a SZA fan? Like, is there a SZA song that you really like? Because it took me a while. Like, I didn't get on the SZA train until later on. Like, a lot of people were big fans right from the beginning, and it took me a little longer to get on there. Like, how does she fall on your radar?
He's off my radar.
So you're not a SZA fan at all.
Like, I don't even know really what song like she actually sings. So maybe does she does that like one with like I'm Coming Home? Or
Wait,
is that just me? Like, I'm coming home, I'm coming home.
oh no, that's not SZA.
Just okay, then I wouldn't know.
That's the girl. I think that she was in Diddy and Dirty Money.
Okay, yeah, that's it.
Yeah, and I can't remember her name now, but she came from another group. Oh gosh. But yeah, it was her and the girl from Danity Kane, and they were in Diddy and Dirty Money. And that's who you're thinking of. SZA, she has the song Saturn. And she has the one where she says she just killed her ex.
I probably have heard it and be like, meh, right? But
More
like,
recently, her and Kendrick Lamar released an album together. And I believe
I've heard about that.
they have a song called 30 for 30 or something along the lines of that. And you know, she's made a big wave in the industry. She's won, pretty sure, many, many awards, Grammys. And she came out of nowhere and she started out as a songwriter. And I guess the spat is Nicki is saying that nobody ever wanted to sing any of her songs, and she's saying that she had shit lyrics, and you know, she's was requested to have Nicki on songs, and she never wanted to work with her. And I don't know where this spat came from because I don't really see SZA saying anything in response. Because I was looking for any back and forth between the two of them, and I didn't see any. But I do know throughout Nicki Minaj's career, she has her share of spats with other people. Like, she goes hard. Do you remember when Nicki and Cardi B didn't get along, or they were fighting? Like, Nicki, she definitely is a very dominative rapper. And when she has an issue with you, she will go off on you. And it's kind of funny because we were talking about this yesterday, because I was like, oh, remember how Imani is fighting with, what's her name? Shekinah. This is a 90 Day Story. And I was like, I feel like SZA's the type of person that's not gonna like engage. And I don't know. I think it's weird when people pick a fight with somebody who you know isn't gonna actually fight back. Because I don't feel like SZA is gonna go. Because I was looking and looking and I was like, well, what did she say? What did SZA say? And I haven't really seen any real response to any of the hits or the jabs that Nicki is throwing at her. And you know, Nicki is not one to mess with though. Nicki, she has her barbs who fight very, very hard for her. Like, I feel sorry for anybody who comes for Nicki Minaj. I'm scared to. It's kind of like Beyonce. You go for Beyonce and the Beehive is going to attack you, sting you, and probably paralyze you. So the artists, they're behind these huge fandoms, armies. I like to call them an army, to be honest, because that's what they are. They put on armor and they go and fight for these artists. So when I see these big artists getting into these spats, and then the fan armies are starting to fight with each other. So Nicki's fans are now declaring war on SZA's fans, and now there's like this secondary war going on between the artists. And I don't know, how do you feel about it when the artists are going through these spats? Do you feel like it's childish? Do you feel like it's necessary? Do you think like, you know how we watch reality TV and it's necessary that there's some sort of drama or we tune out? Do you think it's necessary that the artist needs to eventually get into a spat with somebody, or do you think you can be an artist and never call anybody else a name and still be successful?
I think that you should be able to stand on your own 2 feet. So if you can dish it, you shouldn't have any backup or anyone backing you up to take it, type of thing like that. So if you can dish it, you're going to have to take it from that person. You don't need like your crazy erratic fans, like this pandemonium with like different fan, like with different fans. And it's crazy because I know exactly what you're talking about, because like Backstreet Boys, they actually, their fans are called BSB Army. Like New Kids on the Block are called Blockheads, right? So it's just different fans for different music and whatnot. But at the end of the day, it's all like just because of the generation of the music, like boy bands, okay, whatever, like we're kind of cuckoo, but it's not like we'll do anything crazy where, so, like, where it's hip hop. And I don't want to put that judgment there. It's just because we've seen it happen before. There's a lot of feuds like that come up with the hip hop in the hip hop world as well. And we've seen it. It has changed throughout the years, thank goodness, right? Because before we had the East Coast, West Coast battle, like Tupac and Biggie, right? And like, look what happened. And then there's still people ongoing battling, like fighting, like, or like East Coast and West Coast rap, right? So, but it's not as serious and it's not as dangerous as it used to be when those two big icons were out there in the world.
Yeah, that was scary because when two rappers feuded with each other, it usually resulted in the death of a rapper. So that was a very scary time. But now, like for instance, Drake and Kendrick Lamar are feuding, right? And they've been going back and forth. And Kendrick Lamar made a diss track about Drake that actually won him a Grammy, I'm pretty sure, and it got him a Super Bowl performance. And so we've definitely shifted in the way feuds go in hip hop, because like I said, in hip hop, it usually turned deadly. You know, once you started war on another rapper, there was usually a shootout at some point. Luckily, we've shifted it where the feuds, no one's getting hurt. You know, there's words being exchanged, there's releasing music, and
But it's words being exchanged by music, by the best,
wow.
how it's going to hurt you is in the music.
And you know what's funny? That Drake and Kendrick Lamar are on the same record label, and Drake is now suing their record label because they released this diss track of him, which is really interesting because essentially he's suing himself because his record label is it's a part of his entity. It's how he makes a lot of his money. So suing your record label in turn, I think is gonna hurt you because that's less money they would have to give you, but I guess you're taking the money anyway. But how do you feel about that? So say you own Gina Records and you have two artists and they're feuding with each other, and one artist makes a song saying horrible, horrible things about another artist, and they're both your artists on your label. Would you release it? Or would you try to settle it in-house because you wouldn't want your artists to be fighting? Or do you look at it as if the fans want to hear it and the fans will buy it and stream it, let's do it? Because a lot of people are saying that if Drake's label really had any loyalty to him, they would not have let Kendrick Lamar release the diss track on their label, attacking another one of their fellow artists. So what do you think?
I think they should have just sat down and talked amongst like themselves with like as human beings. But obviously, in I need more money world and I'm greedy, I'm gonna let this slide and I'm gonna let it happen because I need to make money. We need to make money. This is how we're gonna do it. But at the end of the day, it can also be a huge publicity stunt at the same time.
Well, here's the thing. So Brandy and Monica, they released a song a long time ago called The Boy Is Mine. And they convinced the world they hated each other. And now that they get to go back and relive those moments and retell the stories, they didn't hate each other. They didn't even know each other. They didn't have any ill feelings towards each other. But it made it easy to sell that album, right? And I think each of them released an album called The Boy Is Mine, if I'm not mistaken. And it made it easier to sell that discord between the two of them. And it, for some reason, two women working together, there has to be some conflict. Like, they can't just make a song that people love. They have to make a song that has some sort of conflict between the two of them. And I don't know why. I think Taylor Swift has touched on this, where I think in one of her songs where she said that they pin women against each other. And that's kind of how the industry has always been. Two women can't work together and make money together and get along like two men can. Like, men will work together and make $1 billion together, but if two women are working together, then there has to be animosity or jealousy or hatred or anger. And it's true, the industry definitely exploits women to the point where, oh, well, they're fighting over the same man. Even though Brandy and Monica will tell you there was never a man, there was never a fight, there was never even an issue. So maybe you're right. Maybe the Kendrick and Lamar thing is BS. Maybe they don't have any issue with each other at all. They're just making money together. Because think about it, the last time Kendrick Lamar had a single that anybody heard was probably over 10 years ago before this feud. He had career in his own right, and he did amazing in his own right, but he hasn't put out a song that was in the top 10 in a really long time until now. So maybe, this is a calculated move, because let's just be real, Drake is making money off of this feud too, right? It's not just Kendrick. Kendrick is making a lot of money, Drake is making a lot of money, and this is kind of what the industry did with Brandy and Monica. They were like, oh, well, these girls are both, the best at what they do. And since they're both women, we can't have two women being the best. We have to pit them against each other. And they capitalize on that. And even today, now that they've announced the Boy Is Mine tour, which is a huge deal right now, all of the 90s babies are freaking out because this is like a massive situation. But what I was gonna say, do you think that Drake and Kendrick Lamar would ever do a tour together? I honestly don't think that they would. I feel like the rap feuds are a little more serious than in the feuds like between the female artists, because where they used to say, oh, Whitney Houston and Mariah Carey don't like each other, and then in interviews they both were like, I've met her, she's nice, I don't have a problem with her. Like, they always pinned each other. Pinned us to believe they hated each other. But I think when it comes to rap and rappers, I think that they definitely, the animosity is more. And I don't think that they really should be in the same room, because I feel like the egotistical aspect of rap feuds, I think that they're a little more serious, right? And I think if
Yeah, I think between male artists, it's a little bit more serious than like with the women artists.
Right. I think Drake
With
might
the
work.
women artists, it's more catty and more ratchet, where with the male artists, it's more serious,
Yeah,
basically.
I think Drake would punch Kendrick Lamar or vice versa. So I don't think that they would ever be on the same stage together. But oh, so I want to ask you a question. So this came up. It was a trending topic on Twitter, X, whatever you want to call it now. So the Brandy and Monica tour. The opener is Kelly Rowland, who is from the massive girl group Destiny's Child. Now, this huge feud came about on Twitter because a lot of people were saying Kelly Rowland is too big of an artist to be the opening act for Brandy and Monica. So I wanted to get your opinion on that, because some people are saying, oh, Kelly Rowland is too big. She shouldn't be the opener. It should be someone else. She should be like a co-headliner. What do you think about that? Because I know Kelly Rowland, she does have her own solo career, but it doesn't compare to what she did with Destiny's Child, right? Like, she did amazing in her solo career. She's very talented, but does it really compare to what Beyoncé did in her solo career? You know, like,
Hell no.
Beyoncé would never open for anyone. Let's just be real. The funny part is, I've seen Beyoncé in concert before when she was opening for Christina Aguilera. Back in the day when Destiny's Child was opening for Christina Aguilera, it's funny because I've actually seen Beyonce in concert several times where they were the openers back in the day in Destiny's Child, but she'll never open for anyone again. Beyonce will always be the main event. And people are saying, well, Kelly should be on that level. Do you feel like Kelly should never be an opener? She should always be a
When
headliner?
was the last time we heard Kelly do a solo album or one of her? So the only song when you say Kelly Rowland that I remember is the Nelly and Kelly song.
Oh, she had motivation. Do you remember motivation?
No, see, that's what I mean. Like the oh, and the thing is, like, who else as a solo female artist are you going to call up that's still making music or still musically inclined to go on a 90s tour, right? Or like in that genre during that time, right? You're not going to call you're not going to call Mariah Carey because it's Mariah Carey. When it's not about Mariah Carey, it's about Brandy and Monica. Like, you know what I mean? Like, so you're not gonna call Mariah Carey. You're gonna call someone that is in that genre, but just a little bit below So I'm fine with it. They're not coming here, so I'm kind of upset about that. But I think they want to have a feel. That's why they didn't do too many tour dates. I think they just want to see how well it does and then maybe expand, maybe.
Well, if you want to get technical, it's called the Boy Is Mine tour, but I think this is a co-headlining tour because Brandy and Monica only have one song together. So a lot of people were like, oh, they're going to be performing together. And I was like, no, they're not. Brandy is going to come out and perform her hits. Monica's going to come out and perform her hits. And then at the end, they're going to do the Boy Is Mine.
It's mine.
So
Yeah.
you're getting a co-headlining tour because everyone is like, oh, they're going to be performing together. And I was like, they're not really going to be sharing the stage because they only have one song together. And
Well, the thing is, she'll probably do like Brandy will probably do hits from singles from the Never Say Never, which Where Has the Boy Is Mine, like On Top of the World, Have You Ever, right? So all that genre, right? Then Monica has the album The Boy Is Mine on released around the same time, so she might do the hits from the boy like the Boy Is Mine album, which makes sense.
it's, I mean, I'm a huge fan. Like, Monica was my future wife growing up.
She just didn't know it.
For some reason, we never got married. You'd have to ask her. I don't know what happened. But she was my future wife growing up. And it's funny because I always loved Brandy. But if I had to pick a wife, right? Like, it's funny as though either of them would marry me. But if I had to pick a wife, I wanted to marry Monica. But Brandy, you know, she was also on my radar as well. So it's really interesting that they're going to go on tour together. I've seen them in concert separately many times throughout the years. So it's kind of a dream show to see both of these women together. And it's funny, not together, but on the same stage, right? Like, you buy one ticket and you get to see, because They were the best at what they did in their time, right? And it's funny because a lot of people back in the day, you know how if you're a Backstreet Boys fan, like you know, because you're a boy bander, you can't be a NSYNC.
NSYNC.
So a lot of times it was you had to either like Brandy or Monica at that time period. And it's funny because I like them both, so I didn't have that issue. But like the boy band thing where, oh, if you're a fan of this boy band, you can't be a fan of this boy band. So it's like they're breaking that closed-mindedness
Stigma.
were right of, well, you can't like them both. So they're doing the way you can go to one tour and see both. And Backstreet Boys did that with New Kids on the Block. They did the NKOTBSB tour. Did I get the
Y
letter?
yes. Yeah, you did.
That, see, I pay attention to
Hooked on phonics. Yay.
I pay attention to things. So yeah, they kind of broke that stigma of, oh, well, you can't like more than one boy band, or you have to hate this fandom because this fandom doesn't like you. And they kind of broke that, and they did that tour together, which was a big deal for boy bands because a lot of, I don't know what it is with girls in these fandoms, but they're very closed-minded, right? Like if you don't like the right boy band, because I remember in school, the girls would wear their little boy band tees in school, and if a girl was wearing the wrong boy band, the girls would actually be mean to her. I remember they would be nasty to her. They didn't want to sit with her at lunch, all because she was wearing the wrong boy band on her shirt. Why were y'all like that, Gina? That was so mean.
Well, the thing is, Backstreet Boys came first, at least in Canada. So here's a little background. Because in North America, Backstreet Boys came popular first in Canada, not the US. So here's what happened. Because in a part of Canada, we have Quebec, which is a French-speaking region of Canada. And then in Quebec, they started playing on their much music version, Backstreet Boys. And Backstreet Boys were very popular in Europe, all throughout Europe. And then merged on over to the Quebec, which is the like French-speaking side of Canada. Then from there, it merged into Toronto and much music, and then it just was mayhem in all of Canada. So basically, Canada is what put Backstreet Boys on the map for North America, and that like it just skyrocketed. Then NSYNC came after. That's why there was the feud, NSYNC or Backstreet Boys, but Backstreet Boys came before NSYNC.
Isn't it weird that NSYNC is still so powerful now? Because if you really want to get technical, they only existed for like 4 years, like an intact group. Because they got together around 98, right? I believe 98. And by 2002 or three, they were already disbanded.
Well, here's the thing. Like, I started to like Backstreet Boys in 97, but I had went to Europe in 97. So that's where, and then I came back with all these boy band magazines, and they were on there, and I like was head over heels, and then became popular because I remember in grade eight when I was in 1997, they were like the whole new thing, right? And then they started becoming more popular in the US. But I do. Now they're in Vegas, and it's very tempting to go, but I keep telling
So
myself no, 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 no.
I was gonna ask you because they're doing the, what's the name of that building? It's the big circle,
The sphere.
the sphere. So they're doing the sphere. Is it not enticing for you to see them at the sphere?
It was. I had seen videos of prior concerts at the Sphere before. Even looking at tickets when it was announced, I'm like, oh no, that's making my head spin. Like, and this is just watching a video. I've read online as well. It's so disorganized, and I don't think it can handle that. I'm a very organized person. I've read fans not impressed with their after parties, not impressed, like they're waiting in line. They've paid money for these after parties where some of the Backstreet Boy members are going to be at. They're not getting into these after parties. It's just a big mess. And I don't think I can handle big mess because I would lose my marbles. So I'm gl glad that I made the decision to stay back and not, I'll have FOMO, but that's okay. I've accepted I accepted my decisions.
So you're not an NSYNC fan, is that like a safe?
You know what? I would be happy if they actually, if I'd be, I'd see them as well in concert because it's been a minute, like since
A
they've
minute, yeah,
performed.
it's been like 20 something years.
It's
A
been a
minute.
while since they last performed, right? All together on one stage. Now, if
There
you,
are people who were born and graduated college since they were together.
right? But if you want to put like, oh God, this would be an ultimate dream, and I don't know how much money I would pay for these tickets, but if you want to put Spice Girls and NSYNC together, like as a reunion tour, oh gosh, I don't know how much money I would spend on those tickets, but it would be a nice pretty penny, basically. I would spend money on that concert.
I don't know. I'm never like I thought NSYNC was okay when they came out. My favorite band was O-Town. And then my second favorite was 98 Degrees. And then I
And
guess
they're from Ohio.
yeah, I'm from Ohio, Cincinnati. And I had like I understood why people liked Backstreet Boys and NSYNC. And I did listen to one of the albums that I purchased. I think I bought their Tearing Up My Heart album. Or no, we had Christmas exchange at school and somebody bought me the Tearing Up My Heart album. Don't ask me why I didn't ask for it. And I also had the Black and Blue album by the Backstreet Boys. Is this the one that has the song The Call on it? Yeah, I had that album and then it had Show Me the Meaning of Being Lonely on it.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, that album was really good, and I kind of understood why people liked it.
The
Yeah, I
cuckoo-ness.
was like, damn, this is such a good album. And when I listen to music when I was younger, I listened to the whole album from start to finish and I didn't skip anything. Like, because now, I only will listen to the songs that I want to listen to. I skip and move around on the album. But back then, I would listen to the whole album. I would hit play and this and I would let it play. So every single song on there, I knew. And I listen to, and it's funny because when I go back and listen to the albums that I used to listen to as a kid, I listen to all of them, even the non-singles, and I don't do that anymore. So it's kind of nostalgic when I go back and listen.
You know what's funny? The first concert I ever went to, I was 16. I remember it was, of course, Backstreet Boys, in 1999, the Millennium Tour. I still have my ticket. It's in my agenda from high school, and I still have that agenda. Oh, in the row, the ticket, and everything. And I remember we were talking about earlier how concerts have elevated and performances, and they had this huge barrier in the middle and where they were walking. And I remember I went nuts and I like lost my friends. We were sitting on the floor. I lost my friends. I'm like, you're on your own. I'm like, I need to see them up close, like screaming my head off. It was a good time.
Yeah, concerts are so different now. Like I said, I think what I hate the most is that the venues keep getting bigger and it's less personal. It's like less of an experience because the farther you are, like there used to be, I remember I would go to a show and I would be close enough to where the artist and I would like lock eyes, like they noticed me. Right. I think I was at a Lady Gaga concert back in the day when she wasn't as big yet. And I was like front row and she like looked at me and I was like, holy shit. She just looked at me. She saw me. Like we know, like we got something going on.
We
Yeah.
connected.
And I was like, but like now when you go to shows and they're like in a football stadium, the artist can't connect with you because they can't see you.
No,
Like
they
it's.
can only see I think from what I've heard, you can only see the first five rows in front of
Well,
you. That is it.
it's less personalized and it's less of an experience for me. And I'm assuming it's less of an experience for the artist too, because a lot of artists back in the day when they described touring, they said it was the connection with the fans that made them want to tour. And I think the connection with the fans is becoming less and less at shows, the bigger venues. And if you really want to meet the artist, you got to pay like thousands and thousands of dollars just to talk to them for 20 seconds. Like they've really taken the connection out of the music and the touring. So when people ask me, do I go to as many concerts and shows as I used to? I don't. I don't feel like it's the same experience that I used to get when I was younger. It's such an unpersonal, not intimate experience now.
Yeah, that's the thing, right? Like you want to get as close as possible because I know for me, my parents were very protective about me. Like my brother had to tell them, like, no, she's going to this concert. You didn't let her go to the first one when they came here in like whatever year it was in 97. She's going to this one, right? And that's it. That's final. Because my brother was working at across the street at a sports bar. And he's just like, after the concert, she's coming here and I'm dropping her off at home. So I don't understand what the big deal is. She's gonna call you guys when she gets here, and I'm gonna talk to you guys too, right? Like it was this huge big deal. And finally they let me go. They're like, no, you didn't let her go to the first one. She's definitely going to this one. It's just gonna be teenage girls run like in that arena. Like, honestly, what can go wrong?
Well, a lot. Teenage girls are ridiculous. Have you ever
Oh,
been
I know.
told?
I know. You don't have to tell me because I was one of the ridiculous ones. But what's the worst that can happen?
If you've never been trampled by a group of teenage girls chasing after a boy, then you've never lived. Like,
Well, because I am the first one to be running, right? But at the same, I'm not getting trampled because I'm going to tell somebody off. Like, you can't do that. Because I'm ahead of the game, but I'm also very like polite about it. Like I remember when I was at we were when we were in Vegas to see the New Kids on the Block, they had this like merchandise thing next door or whatever. And these girls, after seeing Jenny McCarthy or whatnot, her makeup stuff, because again, it was a grab, like it was a merchandise pickup grab, right? So type of thing like that, cash grab. We tried getting in line to buy merchandise because it was separated, the Jenny McCarthy makeup line, and like it was separated. I'm like, wait a second. You girls weren't behind me. And I turned around and so they can hear me, like the people like the like in the room who are like monitoring the room and like making stuff is orderly and the organizers. I'm like, wait, you weren't behind me. That chick behind you was behind me because we were talking and I needed to buy a shirt for my girlfriend. I'm like, oh, hell no. Hell no. And they're like, oh, thanks so much for saying something. Like the girl that was standing behind me, I'm like, of course. Like, why wouldn't I say anything? You can't let people stomp all over you. Right. But I'm just like, oh, hell no. No. Like, I don't think so. I'm sorry. Who are you? You weren't behind me. If you want to buy merchandise, the lineup starts there at the back.
See this. Oh, you know what? There was a story about a concert because we're talking about concerts. And there is this guy, he's the CEO of some company. I think it's called Astronomer. Don't ask me what they do, I don't know. But he was there with a woman at a Coldplay concert, in Boston, actually. And the woman that he was with was not his wife, the mother of his children. It was not her. It was the woman of HR of this company. And this huge story is coming out, right? That he got caught cheating on the Jumbotron, right? Like somebody, I guess, took a video randomly and he, or so wait. I think the video got shown. Was it on the Jumbotron, Gina, or was it?
Yeah, they're on the like Jumbotron on the Kiss Cam or whatever.
And then somebody took a
And
video.
she does HR for his company.
Right. But then somebody took a video of them on the Jumbotron and then put it on social media. And that's how it went viral, right? So yeah, so the video at the concert, that's not what made it viral, them being on the Jumbotron. Somebody took a video of the Jumbotron and posted it, and then people at the company recognized them. And now I read today that he has put in his resignation from his company. Isn't that crazy? So now he's
That's so crazy. They're like the meme of like the last 2 or 3 days now.
so going to a concert and cheating on your wife with your HR representative. And I think the irony of the situation is the HR representative is the person who teaches you about appropriate and inappropriate relationships at work.
In the workplace, exactly.
I guess the real irony of it is they're like the woman who fires people for inappropriate relationships, and she's the one that keeps the policies going on what you should and shouldn't be doing, is the one doing something she shouldn't be doing. But I think what really got me was this is not anything new. Like, if you're the CEO of a company or you're a very powerful person, you have a lot of money or whatever, you cheating is not going to be a surprising thing for me. Like, that's like saying somebody was like, an NBA player was cheating on their wife. That wouldn't surprise me. That's very common. I've watched Basketball Wives long enough to know that NBA players are cheating on their wives, right? Like, we know this. This isn't anything new. But I think the fact that he got caught in such a humorous way, and it's not like his secretary or the administrative assistant or an intern, like Clinton with his intern, this is the HR director, which makes it even more humorous because I don't know, like the story kind of took over the internet. Like, I can't open
It has.
the internet without memes of them everywhere, and it's kind of taken over. And it's crazy because she's on leave from work. She's probably gonna get fired.
On stress leave. Fired from who if she's the head of HR?
Well, how does that work? So if the head of HR is in trouble, who oversees the head of HR?
Exactly.
Because they're the person that decides what goes and what stays. So that's a good question. So I'm wondering if the head of HR is under investigation, who's in charge of the investigation? Because HR is the one that does the investigations. So
Exactly.
I don't know. That's a good question. But I guess the CEO himself has resigned from his own company now. And the question being, a lot of people online are saying, should infidelity in a relationship be something that causes you your job, it costs you your job? So, Gina, do you think that if someone's cheating on their wife, that's enough to fire them from their job? Because technically he didn't steal from the job, he didn't do anything nefarious at the job.
Okay, but if it's in the workplace, right? It's workplace policy, nor in normal workplace policies, you're
Well,
not to have a relationship inside the workplace,
they
right?
weren't at work though. They were at a Coldplay concert.
No, but at the, no, with your like intermingling with like people that you work with, like I know people that I've worked used to work with in the past, but it wasn't like higher authority, lower authority type of thing like that, that have gotten married, do have kids together, but they're at the same level basically of like a collections clerk or whatnot. They're at the same level. It wasn't like one position, like two different positions. It was not like a leak in HR or in an HR policy like leak, right? So that's the thing. Like, and some companies are very extremely strict about it, where you can't date anybody in the workplace.
No, you're right. You're right. That's a very common rule in most workplaces, especially in a high up position, because
In executive positions
because that
and a decision-making position, right? If it's just like, or whatever, like it'd be like a retail store worker hooking up with the manager of the store or the like the department manager, like the like lead in de department manager or something like that. Obviously, that's a higher authority versus a lower authority employee. But when you're standing at the ground at the same level, right, then what difference does that matter? But obviously, these two people are high, like people look up to them. One's a CEO, one's head of HR. Then you're gonna like people like they're representing the company at the end of the day, they're the face of the company.
yeah, see, I'm wondering if we're holding companies to a higher standard than we should. Like, would you stop purchasing? Okay, I don't know what they sell, but say they sell something that you use like regularly. This is hypothetical, because honestly, I don't even know if they sell anything.
I don't know what they do, what they sell. Like, I don't know anything about the company.
Hypothetically, say they sell a face cream that you like to use on your face. And now you heard that the CEO is a lying, cheating piece of crap, and the HR person is cheating with the CEO. Would you, in turn, stop purchasing face cream from them?
No, because it's not about, that's a personal issue. that's like that they have to resolve. I'm not, like, it doesn't affect the product that's being offered to me.
See, I agree with you. I agree with you. I think that the if someone at the company does something stupid, it doesn't necessarily that mean everyone at the company or the products of the company or the quality of the company is compromised. It just means that that individual did something stupid. And I think a lot of times people will boycott a company or boycott a brand based on something one person did when that company is being run by hundreds, if not thousands, of different people. And it's like you can't really blame the actions of one person and then
Or
say,
two people in this case.
because say for instance, this company produces something that is needed in the industry, right? Like who knows what. But say that they're doing something that makes a difference. The product that they're giving the public is needed. It has a positive impact on.
Let's say it's like a healthcare sector, basically, and they're providing something for the healthcare.
We're not going to stop purchasing their product, which is has a positive impact on the healthcare industry and the well-being of others because he doesn't know how to keep it in his pants, right? Like, I think, I don't know. I feel like the fact that they are dragging the company, I don't know. I don't know how I feel about that because, yeah, he is the face of the company, but he's not the company because look what just happened. He resigned from that company. So now that company is going to continue on without him. So it shows that he wasn't the company. It was his actions were individual of his own.
Exactly. And it's funny because I sent a group text message to our group chat for 90 Day Fiancé Fridays, and there's actually a strip club here called the Penthouse. And I don't know if you got the opportunity to read it yet. And on their signage, it says, "Don't worry, guys, Coldplay isn't here. The Penthouse strikes." And then at the bottom, it says, "The Penthouse strikes again."
See, this story has taken over. I think it's funny though, because when I first saw it, I was like, oh my God, why is this such a big deal? Guys cheat all the time, like literally all the time. But then when I started to see the memes, and then I read more and I heard that she was in HR, and I was like, I get it now. I get why people are making this a big deal because she's in HR. And it's like the fact that they were out thinking that they wouldn't see anyone and no one would see them, and then the look of terror on their faces when they saw that they were on camera, it just was, it's almost like watching a Mad TV skit. It was just really funny. Like, you watch a Saturday Night Live and it's just something so stupid you couldn't make it up. It was just hilarious. So I guess you have to be careful, if you're a cheater. And you work in HR, you have to be a little more careful of where you are going with your married boyfriend, right? I guess.
Well, exactly. At the end of the day, I don't think neither one of them thought that they would get caught, because look at how many people are there at a concert. Who's going to spot you? Who's going to know that you're there?
Well, right. And it's also very dark at a concert. And, I've been to concerts where I couldn't point out in a lineup the person sitting in front of me or behind me because it's so dark and I wasn't paying attention. I was looking at the stage. I was just not focused on anyone around me. I was focused on the concert. So that's probably the mindset you would have when you go into something like that. They're like, oh, there's probably 30,000 people here. What are the odds that people are going to point me and you out, right? Of this.
Exactly.
And it's just, they did, and it just shows you the power of social media and the power of having iPhones and smartphones. And it really has made things, I guess, easier and difficult if you want to get technical, right? Like now that everything can be documented so easily in high def, I think they say caught in 4K now. So like everything that you're doing is caught in 4K. And everywhere you go, someone's recording something, right? Like I was walking through the grocery store and somebody was like taking pictures of food on the, like someone's always documenting something. So it's like you're never really hiding from the world. Somebody is going to catch something on video.
And that's the society and the world that we live in. And we're lucky enough to know and to experience. We did live in a world at one time where everything wasn't videotaped, everything wasn't filmed, everything, thank God, because Lord only knows in my 20s the disasters that would show up on social media. If that was around, right? If camera phones were around, if it was popular, right? So, and thankfully it wasn't.
Yeah, it was a simpler time, Gina. We would go to a concert and we would just watch the artist. Because I noticed at a concert, I'll be watching the artist through my phone because I'm recording it. And
Yeah.
instead of me like enjoying
Yeah, do you remember when you weren't like allowed to bring cameras to the concerts?
no flash photography.
Photography.
Yeah,
Yeah.
I remember that. And now I go to a show, I pay a lot for the seat so I can see good. And I'm watching them perform through my phone screen because I can't live in the moment. I have to record. And I don't know why we're like this. Like, why can't I just have the memories in my mind having a great time? I have to
Because
record.
we want to relive the memories again, right? So we want to relive the memories again.
It's ruining our lives. Like social
Yeah.
media, it's ruining our lives because I remember when I was younger, I would go to the concert and I would enjoy every moment of it. And I remember every moment of every concert. But now I go to a concert, I pay seven times what I used to pay. I record every moment of it. And then there's still stuff that I miss because I was either posting it to social media and I missed that, or I was tagging the photo, or I was putting gifts in the video, or I was always doing something other than paying attention to what I should have been doing. And I think phones are ruining our lives, like in a way, like we don't have that in the moment appreciation for life. We always have to record it like we're making a movie when we used to just live every day, you know, and do what we wanted to do. And we would go based on the memories we made in our head. And I wonder if that's also making our minds less sharp. Because if you don't need to remember as much, do you think your memory tends to go faster? Because if we don't use our mind for memories, we use our phone to go back. Because you know, when you open your phone and it tells you your memories from like a year ago, like if we're not using our mind for that, now our phone is doing that. Because I was always taught the more you use your mind, the sharper it becomes. But if we're using our phones instead of our minds, does that mean our minds are becoming less sharp and we're gonna be a bunch of idiots? You think that's what that means?
Pretty much, yeah, because like it's funny because I'll remember some stuff that will happen like with my work or whatnot, like, and I'm like, oh, I remember from 2 years ago when I first started, it's supposed to go like this. I'm like, how did I just remember that? Like how and why did I just remember that? But like, so it's basically your brain can only hold so much, right? And I think, yeah, it's good to live in the moment. I live in the moment in some concerts. I won't post concert pictures or whatever on the same day. I might post a picture or two or a video or two, but then it's the few, like the next days after is where I'll post the videos or while I post, like I'll post different things about the concert, right? I still want to take in that moment, and I don't want to kill, like I don't want my battery to die by posting videos or posting pictures at that moment.
Okay, so I want to ask a question before we wrap up. Are you a late night talk show person? Because, you know, throughout history, I would probably say over the last 100 years, late night talk shows have dominated different networks, different shows. Like there's the Late Show, the Late Late Show, the Tonight Show, different variations of the exact same show. It's a desk, a guy talking and a band. And I've never been into these shows, right? Like,
And
have you ever been a late show person? Do you tune into these shows?
I haven't because, like, okay, so in high school, obviously, you need to go to bed early, right? Like, not early, but like you had an early morning, right? And then come like when I was like 19, because unlike the United States, 19 is the legal clubbing age here. So it's just like I was out and about. I wasn't watching no late shows. I had better things to do, right? And then now into like my like now that I don't go out, I'm still up not I'm not that late now because I have work obligations in the morning, right? So it's just like the only time where I can watch it is probably on like a Friday or like a statutory holiday, and it better be interesting. You better have some good guests on there. I'm not watching, I'm falling asleep. I'd rather watch something like Dateline instead.
I think the issue, because I have watched the shows sporadically throughout life, and I think the issue is they come on every day And you know, my favorite thing to say, every show can't be a Tom Cruise show, right? Like every time you tune in, it can't be the biggest person in the world because it's a Monday through Friday show and you can't book everybody every day. And I think that these shows, they do book big name people and they are able to get big performers and it's great for promoting movies and everything. I just never really got into the cold comedy guy at a desk, 2 hour almost long talk show, right? Like if I was gonna watch a talk show, I would watch Mari or Jerry Springer. You know, like those were more my scene, so maybe I'm just a trashy person, but
You're just trashy people.
I couldn't get into it. So anyway, the moral of this is The Late Show with Stephen Colbert was canceled by the network after this season, the season that's currently on. And it's the end of an era because, like I said, these shows have been coming on consistently with different hosts for probably 100 years, you know, like for a really long time. I might be wrong, maybe less than 100, but as long as I can remember, there's always been, I want to say maybe Johnny Carson. Remember that name? I think he doing it many years ago. You know, he's left this world for many years. He was doing it, and there was probably somebody before him. And it's a lot of people are saying, how do we feel about the era of talk shows, late night talk shows ending? Do you feel like we're gonna regret it? Are we gonna miss them? Do you think that it's something that was a old tradition that people just didn't know how to let go of? Like, how do you feel?
I think I personally feel, and it could be just me, that it is an older tradition and it's dwindling because it's like a lot of, like, I watched some of it and like a lot of the jokes or whatnot, or like it's nothing comical about it. Like, and like I said, like, in my own personal experience, I couldn't watch it when I was younger. And then I was at an age where I was going out all the time. And then and here I am, old as a fart, at 42, where I don't watch it because I'm in bed, like going to sleep.
I
Like
mean,
I'm already passed out asleep, so there's no time to watch it. When do people expect to watch these late night shows? Like when we all have to wake up in the morning. Most of us have to wake up in the morning. We have jobs to go attend to.
what if they changed it to an earlier time slot? Do you think you would even prioritize it then, or you just think you just don't care?
It just depends on who they're having as guests that needs to pull me in.
Yeah,
Like, if
right.
they don't have good guests on, then I'm not, or like that doesn't,
The
like,
worst thing is watching an hour and a half show and it's not a Tom Cruise show.
exactly. Like,
You're like, who are these people? Why do I care? And it's like,
exactly. It's like kind of like SNL, right? SNL, like, they had their good years and now like it's dwindling as well because they're not like different writers, different producers, different directors. They have different people on. Like, I'm like, who's this band? What? Like, I don't understand it. Like that concept. Like, I'm not understanding, like, who's this band? I don't know them. Like, why are they popular? What do they sing? Like, why are they on here? Right? I don't know who this is, or where did this person come from? I don't know it.
see, that is you're right. A lot of the times if I watch SNL, it's because the host or the performer, I never tune in regularly. It's not like, oh, it's Saturday, I'm going to watch SNL. It always is, it's driven by who's going to be there. And
Exactly. And I remember at times I used to laugh so hard watching SNL, right? But now it's not like I'm not laughing as much as I used to anymore. And I've noticed that. And I like laughing a lot. Like, I kind of wish they had some of the older skit comedy shows on still, like Mad TV. Mad TV was one of my favorites to watch. And In Living Color. Like, I kind of wish they had those still on the air or rebooted it because
oh
that was.
wow, you really got me. Mad TV and In Living Color are like the flagship shows for me. Like I really loved both of those shows. And
Right? Like, it was funny, like, and I still don't know why both of them were canceled.
I don't either. I really don't. I think that In Living Color was like, it was the first time that Black people, African American people, were able to
was the first time where you saw black comedy on TV, like and or Hispanic comedy. It was the first time you saw not just the Caucasian person on TV doing comedy
And
or doing skit comedy.
it was so groundbreaking too, because it's like you see people that are so talented and given the spotlight, and you realize, you're like, dang, these people, the other shows are missing a mark by not having a variation of culture and comedy
Exactly.
on their shows. And it's like, I'm so glad that they were able to do that. And like you said, those shows being rebooted would be phenomenal. Even if they just do like a one
A
season.
reunion or one
Yeah.
season,
It
like,
would be insanity, because think about the Wayans family.
oh God.
They came from in living color, and I don't want to say they came from living color, they were always here, but they really made a huge mark on In Living Color. And wait, was it In Living Color or was it Mad TV that the Wayans came from? I can't remember now. It's been
In
so
Living Color.
The Living Color, because didn't one of them, they did the movie critic. I can't, was it Keenan? I think Keenan Ivory Wayans, remember? And he had the little tiny hat on, and they would,
Yes.
and he was like, hated it. Do you remember that?
Yes.
And the sister, the girl, the Wayans sister, she was also on, and they really made their mark. Right, because they've always been here, and they've always been in movies, they've always done comedy, but they really made their mark, and they etched their space in the entertainment industry from In Living Color. And they and then the brothers came around, and they just kind of dominated in that space. And like, if somebody is thinking Netflix, I don't know who we should talk to, but if someone's thinking of reviving In Living Color, please focus on that project.
And you can't, I can't, and you can't forget, homie, don't play that.
Yes, I this is so nostalgic for me, like, because this is what I grew up on. This is what I grew up on, and it was so groundbreaking for me. Like, it showed me that, regardless of your race, gender, culture, whatever you wanted to do, you could be whoever you wanted to be and be funny and be yourself. And I think In Living Color taught, a lot of people of lots of different races, you could just be yourself, and you're just as funny, just as talented, if not more talented than everyone else out there, just being yourself. And Mad TV, it also did that, and it opened the door. They were very, very culturally diverse on Mad TV. And I think that's what was so groundbreaking, that you could turn on that show and you saw a representation from literally every culture. There was
Exactly.
given a platform to use their talent, regardless of who they were, gender, race, culture, where they're from. It didn't matter. Everyone was welcome, and they all worked together. And it really showed that, we didn't need segregation on our TV shows. We didn't need that. And for so long, we had that. Like, there were
We
white
had that.
moms, and there were black
Yeah.
moms, and there were, like, it was never a mix. And I was like, and these shows kind of show, like, we don't need to have a white, like, we don't have to have Full House where it's all white people. We don't have to have Family Guy, or I'm sorry, Family Matters, where it's all black people. We can integrate all of our people
Yeah.
and still have the same funny, hilarious, touching shows. And I think that it kind of set a precedent for that, because we started getting a lot of interracial people on shows, and different variations of what a family could look like. And I think it started from those shows.
Like you have, like I remember on Mad TV, you had Mrs. Swan with
Oh
the
yeah,
yeah.
he looked like a man.
It was, and she was the Asian lady. She's like, no, or something like that. Like, what
Yeah,
was it like?
when the cops asked her who stole her purse, they're like, explain, they're like, describe to us what he looked like.
Oh, he looking like a man.
He looked like a man. He looked like
Yeah. He
a
looked like a man, and then you had like Stewie, like no, in the adult diaper with his. Oh my God! I'm,
Oh,
yeah,
and look what I can do. Remember this?
Stewie.
I really missed the show. So yeah, if guys, Netflix, whoever, Peacock, I don't know who wants to do it. That doesn't really matter to me. But whoever wants to do it, please work on that project. Get everybody back together. I loved the girl who did the Whitney Houston impressions. Her name was
Oh
Deborah.
God.
Do you remember
Yeah.
Deborah? She did
Yep.
So good on her Whitney Houston impressions. And don't get me wrong, she was mean to Whitney. You know, she definitely.
But you know what? It was at the time, like that's
Yes.
like you're gonna talk about and you're gonna make fun of whoever is in the news, like at
Yeah.
that time, right? Or who's in the magazines at that time. So it just had to be done, you know? There was a
She was the best Whitney impersonator so far, like by far. She was just amazing. So yeah, if y'all are looking for a new project, these streaming services, and you want to sink a bunch of money into something that's gonna make it and be huge, this is your project. You're welcome. You know,
Yes.
send us our commission check when you're done, because we just did the work for you. Now you just need to film it, right? Like, you just need to film it. Everything is done for you. You just need to contact these people, get them on board, and get this done, because I would love to see it. I would love to see it. And I would go to a live taping of like one of these shows. Like, you know, you can go to SNL. Like, if they were doing a Living Color reunion, I would go to the live taping of it. Like, I would literally do that, because I feel like it would be a pop culture moment just to see something like that happen.
Exactly. I don't even know how we got into this topic. Oh, late night talk shows, and then we started talking about like Saturday Night Live and Mad TV and A Living Color. That's how we got into this topic. So, yeah, George and I can go on and on and on about our childhood memories, the shows that we grew up with, including the music that we both grew up with. It's not just boy bands for me. George knows my music knowledge is pretty. It's pretty good. He was pretty impressed the other day on TikTok with I can name that tune, but I can't name that artist so many times. But he was pretty impressed that I used to listen to John B.
Yeah, that is impressive. Not a lot of people know John B, so I was impressed. Like, that's a very specific music to know. So yeah, I was impressed, because I used to wait. I would stay up till 2 in the morning when my mom was sleeping, because I couldn't listen to the radio. And I would call the radio station and request John B music, because they wouldn't.
Yeah, I
So
would just watch it on BET Midnight Love. So,
we didn't have cable. I was poor. We didn't
yeah.
have cable. So I had to call the radio and request John B, so they would play it. And so yeah, so when you knew who that was, I was like, oh, I'm impressed, because that's like a specific type of music that everybody didn't, like, the white boy singing black R&B wasn't something everybody knew about, you know? So I was impressed. And you
Yeah.
knew some Keith Sweat songs too, which were because, you know, Keith Sweat dominated in the 90s with his music and with his duets with Cut Close. You know, a lot of people might not know that, but he was a huge deal back in the day. Tevin Campbell, you knew as well, which I was impressed with. So.
Yeah, don't just because of this, like. The skin might be Caucasian and I'm Portuguese and I like the boy band, doesn't mean that my music diversity is very wide range, basically. Wide range.
It kind of has to be. It kind of has to be. Like, I don't know how there's people who only listen to one type of music. It's just so, it's so, I don't know,
Cliche.
cliche. Like, they're like, oh, I only listen to country. And I'm like, but there's so much else out there that.
Like I can go to Guns N' Roses, Bon Jovi. I could go see Backstreet Boys, New Kids on the Block, The Weeknd. I can go see like whomever and like Usher, Enrique Iglesias, like Pitbull. Like there's so many concerts that I've been to with so much diversity, and like that I like that like that music. And I've always told all my friends, even my coworkers, don't ask me what I learned in high school because it was absolutely nothing. Ask me about music and I'll know it, or name that tune, or I'll start singing it and I'll know it.
Yeah, I'm the same way. If I was gonna go on a show, it would be Name That Tune or Beat Shazam, because I know my music, right? Like, that's the one thing I paid attention to. And I wasn't able to listen to music as a kid because of the cult. So I got to listen to music that I guess people would have considered old music, but it was new to me because I had never heard it. So I was listening to SWV and Voice and TLC, but like after the fact. Like, so I was listening to songs, like I was listening to Motown Philly, but it was
Oh my God.
1989, right? Like, it was way after the fact because I wasn't allowed to listen to it when it was out. And like, I remember, I first heard Toni Braxton, and I was listening to like Breathe Again or something, but it was super old at the time, but it was new to me. So when I would go to concerts, I would be like, sing the old stuff, sing the old stuff, stuff that I
Well,
remember.
that's the thing. That's the, like, I like going to concerts to sometimes hear the old stuff, not the new stuff, because I think the new stuff is not that great. I like the old stuff, and I'm weird like that.
Yeah, I like when I go to a show and they sing the older music. And I know you need to continue to move forward and produce new music and stuff, but I think that's what a lot of the girls in the boy band world like, because you go to a Backstreet Boys concert and they're gonna sing the old stuff. They do have new stuff, but they're gonna focus a lot on the old stuff. And I think that's what people want, the nostalgia. And
Exactly.
I went to a
Take me back to when I was 16 again or 14 again. Yes, please.
I went to an O-Town show recently, and
I know, I saw that. I was so jealous.
they sang a lot of new stuff, Gina, and I didn't know any of the new stuff. I
You're like, no, I don't want this. I didn't pay
like
for this.
half of the show was new stuff, and I was like, what's happening right now? Like, I don't know what's going on, because they never stopped making music. But I guess for me, they're like etched for a certain time period in my life, so I kind of stopped listening after a certain time period to the new stuff. So I was just like, damn, they made like five or six albums since I stopped listening. That's insane. But play some of the new stuff so I can participate. Play some of the old stuff.
Exactly.
Like, if play some old stuff, at least I'll be able to sing along, because I did not realize how much new music, and New Kids on the Block has a lot of new music. Backstreet Boys has a lot of new music, but it doesn't hit the same way as the old stuff.
No,
It just doesn't.
exactly. Nostalgia, like you said.
All right, guys, so that's some of the stuff. Well, there was this weird story here before we end. There was a really weird story out of Encino, California. So there's a American Idol supervisor, a music supervisor, Robin Kay, and her husband were found murdered in their home in Encino, California. And the first thing I heard when I read it was, they're very powerful people, they're rich. She has a job that gives her a lot of power and responsibility. I assumed that it was some sort of hit, right? So I was like, huh, maybe somebody wanted to be on the show, or something didn't happen the way they wanted it to happen. And, this was a retaliation. But as we looked more into the story, because they've arrested a suspect, and it turns out this guy also lives in Encino, California. And they're saying that, based on the video that they found from the people's house, this was a random attack. And that's even more weird to me, because I was like, usually when a high profile person is hurt or killed, there's a reason, right? Like, it's not like they were walking down the street and a random situation happened to them. Usually when you work on a American Idol is huge, right? They produce people like Kelly Clarkson, Carrie Underwood, Justin Guarini, David Cook. The list goes on and on of all these massive celebrities and huge name singers that came from the show. So I was like, oh yeah, this person is in charge of an empire. So yeah, I can understand, why somebody would want to hurt these people. But then we look at it and they're like, it was just a burglary. And it went wrong. And I'm like, what? And it really makes you wonder, is that really what happened? Because that's what the police are saying. They're like, oh, there's nothing specific, that we see of this being linked to her job or linked to where the suspect knew the victims. Do you believe that this was just a random attack on this woman who worked on American Idol for 15 years? Like, I'm really confused. And, I don't like to be a conspiracy theorist, Gina. I don't. But sometimes I think the media tells us what they want us to know, and they keep other things from us. So, like, how do
I think you're right, because it's got to be something else that they're not uncovering yet or don't want the media to know, because How random is that? Like, it's just really strange.
Well, and it's just, I don't know, and it's a
But
22-year-old.
in the article we were, like that was on, it says here, TMZ also claims that the police entered Kay's house by smashing a window after spotting blood at the entrance. 4 days prior, police had been called to the same residence to check out reports of an unidentified suspect that neighbors had seen trying to gain entry.
So, wait, they were found 4 days after they were killed.
Yeah.
That's even more weird because the police were
No,
on.
it says in order, okay, the situation discovered the bodies on a welfare check was done on the house on Monday. Like on the Monday, and TMZ also claims that the police entered the house by smashing the window after spotting blood at the entrance. So basically, what had happened was somebody had called the police to do a welfare check, and then the only way that they could enter, like, and they saw blood on the floor. But 4 days prior to this incident, police had been called to the same residence to check reports of an unidentified suspect that neighbors had seen trying to gain entry.
No, see, that doesn't sound. It sounds, yeah, now that makes it seem even more like there was more to it. Because the suspect was there 4 days prior, before the murders happened. Like, this
Exactly.
gets even more weird as the story goes along. And it says the suspect jumped a fence and on Thursday the 10th was in the home for about 30 minutes before the pair walked in on him. The detective said there was a violent struggle and the homeowners were ruthlessly shot multiple times, but there was no surveillance video inside the house. It's and it says no motive found at this point. It appears to be random and I just don't buy it. I
I
don't.
don't buy it either.
Something is going on that we don't know. This guy has to know them somewhere. And the fact that it says that he also lives in Encino, they live in the same neighborhood, it's so not random for me. You know, like, why would you be in these people's home and you live, if you can afford to live in the same neighborhood as a woman who is this successful, what would you need to steal from her from? You live in Encino as well. You know, so it doesn't make sense that you would just randomly break into these people's home to steal when you can afford to live in this neighborhood. Not very many people can afford to live in that neighborhood. So what are the odds that you need to break in and steal from these people that you don't know? I think that I don't want to get too like hypothetical, but what if there was a throuple going on? Because they were an older couple and this was a 22-year-old guy. And I was like, what if he was, you know, a throuple with them and they didn't pay him as much as they thought he was gonna make, and he wanted to steal something out of the house worth as much as he thought he was gonna make. Like, my mind wanders to weird places, Gina. Like, when I hear this, I'm just like, something is going on though. Like, it's too random to not be like linked to something more. Because what are the odds that you would break into their house multiple times, right? Because they said that there was someone trying to gain entry 4 days prior. Then they, it, the whole thing is just too weird for me. And like I said, the media is really well known for giving you just the right amount of information so you don't know what really happened. So I feel like that's what they're doing right now.
Exactly. Covering tracks basically is what they're doing at this point in time.
Yeah, the fact that there's no motive, but there's a suspect, that's weird. And he's not saying what he was doing there, but that doesn't mean that he didn't know them. I think if they continue to interview friends and family and neighbors, they'll probably figure out what the link is between this couple and this
These
man.
individuals,
Yeah,
exactly.
I think that there's no way, because I know home invasions happen. Don't get me wrong, I'm not naive. I know that these types of things happen and they sometimes are random, but even being when home invasions happen, a lot of times people scope out your house, they case the joint, and they research you. Because you know, you don't just home invade anyone. Somebody might not have a safe in their home. You know, like there it's never as random as you think it may be. Because the idea that someone does a home invasion, for instance, it means that they know that you have money. They know that you might have a safe in your home that has a whole bunch of money in it, or you have something of value. You don't just pick a random house like any, mini, miny, mo. and just pick one because it might not be worth it. So yeah, nothing, I don't want to say nothing is random, but things are not as random as you might think.
Exactly. And here we are today discussing it. And it wasn't even like that big of a deal. I only saw it on Billboard just before we did this. It wasn't even talked about.
Yeah, it popped up as a story and I read it and it was weird to me, and then I didn't really hear much else about it. The first time I read it, they didn't have a suspect, and now they have the guy in custody, but still they don't have any information, and maybe he's not giving them any information, the to link them to why he did what he did. It was a super random and violent attack, shooting these people multiple times in their own home. That sounds like a crime of passion to me. Because if you do a home invasion and the people come home, you don't shoot them 7 to 8 times each. You just try to get away.
Or if they had children, maybe it was the children for the insurance money.
Oh, that's true too. That's very true. Oh, see, that's an interesting theory as well, 'cause a lot of times the parents are worth a lot of money, the kids are struggling, and they're like, "Oh, well, what are we gonna do to get a bunch of $1 million?" And this could happen. This could work. This could definitely work. So, I think that over time we'll get a little more information on that story, but that's what's happening right now in our sick, sad world, right? That's what's happening in our world, in this sick, sad world that we live in. So this was some pop culture talk with George and Gina. This is the George Massey show. So we're gonna wrap, and then we'll come back next week and we'll talk about more stuff that happened over the course of the week. We'll get into some Diddy talk next week because he has been convicted of certain charges, and then certain charges were acquitted, dropped. So we'll get into that because I want to have a discussion with you next week on, what your predictions are. Do you think he's going to do hard times, sometime, no
No,
time? We'll get into that
but
next week.
we'll get into that next week or whatnot or whatever.
Yeah, we'll talk about some more of that next week. But thanks for everybody for joining, streaming, listening. We love you guys. Thank you to my co-host, Gina. This is the George Massey Show, and we'll talk to you guys really soon.
I
Bye.